not much here, Warren said. Well, you know what to...
Got it,
Mullen said, wrapping the bundle up. Warren backed away from the repulsor truck and right into another of Glomer's aides. The female mechanic, this one a proper human, not much older than Jabe, grew red-faced.
I'm so sorry, Master Galt.
Warren dusted himself off.
It's all right, he said. Busy Trump standing around in my world.
It's an emergency,
the dark-haired girl said. She reached for a jug of blue liquid on a shelving unit.
It's old Ulbrich. His engine overheated again on the way here from his place.
Warren knew Ulbrich well. The cheap character probably bought coolant by the spoonful. He's just sitting out there in the dunes.
Of course,
the girl said. Looking around, she lowered her voice.
He's afraid someone will steal his vehicle if he leaves. It's no problem. Happens all the time. Today it's my turn to go out.
Warren calculated for a moment. He reached out and stopped the aide. Look, I'm heading out anyway. I'll take care of him. He reached for the jug of coolant. It's the least I can do for the work you've done for me.
That's wonderful, sir. I'll let Glomer know.
The girl dashed off, leaving the Galts alone. Mullen looked to his father.
You figuring on trying to sell Ulbrich on joining the call again?
I'm the king of lost causes, Warren said, snorting. As well as the Jundland. He laughed.
Besides, who knows? Maybe saving the old man will put us over the top.
Or maybe I'll give Callie Calwell's hero a run for his money.
I wish,
Mullen said, glaring in the direction of the door to the store.
I'm sick of hearing that little idiot babble about the heroic drifter.
Vika chortled. Give the girl a break. He's the first male she's seen outside of a dewback pen. Warren found his land speeder and settled into the driver's seat.
Be nice. Bored people imagine things, he said. But if any bronze gods 3 meters tall come riding up, page me on the comlink. That I'll want to see.
The red comlink by the till went off. It was Annalene's dedicated connection to Orin. Communications were always iffy on Tatooine, but Orin still did his best to stay in touch. She picked it up.
You can't have run out of customers already.
That's not it,
Orin's crackling voice replied.
Saw something on my way out. You're about to have a visitor.
Annalene inhaled for a moment.
No, not that visitor,
Orin said, somehow reading her silence correctly.
Someone else.
Annalene listened as he explained. Right, she said, clicking the comlink off.
Callie, Jabe, come on!
Her daughter looked over to see Annalene picking up the blaster rifle from behind the counter. Jabe, suddenly aware, dropped his broom.
Do you need to activate the settler's call?
No, she said, passing him another rifle. This is a Calwell call. Get your gun, Callie. We're about to have company.
Chapter 8.
The Sandcrawler had started its journey in the south, far beyond the Great Pass. There, the Jundland High Country separated to allow entry into the western Dune Sea, for anyone daft enough to go there. The land between the pass and the oasis was almost featureless, making it easy to spot the metal behemoth rumbling toward the store. Still, Annalene was thankful for Orin's early warning. The machines made decent time for their size, and the alert had given her time to lock away the cash. By the time the rolling rummage sale trundled to a stop in the south yard, Annalene and her children were there waiting for it. Wearing her gray-brimmed safari hat, Annalene stood in the Sandcrawler shadows. The suns blazed high over the angled nose of the vehicle. If there was anyone up in the control cabin, she couldn't see them. It didn't matter.
There was something she had to do now. Something she'd done for 20 years of prior impromptu visits by the Jawas. Something she'd seen Danar do during her first year clerking. A thing that told her then that he wasn't just another grubber who'd go broke in a year. "Let's do this," Annalene said, snapping the power cartridge into her rifle.
"Aw, Annie,"
Lily said. She and the other customers had emerged when they heard the sandcrawler approach.
"You're not gonna shoot him."
Annalene said nothing, instead leading her children to the side of the vehicle. Foul steam emanated from the behemoth's overheating engines.
"You know the drill," she said.
Jabe and Callie nodded, even as the mighty ramp began to creak open. The ramp end hit the ground with a muted clang. The Calwells raised their weapons and turned them on their crowd of customers. "Now hear this," Annalene said. "This land is my property. If there's any trading to be done with the Jawas, I'm going to do it. If you don't want to pay my markup, you get on your dewback and head on up to the Mospic Range or wherever they're going next." A low, agitated rumble came from the crowd. Annalene responded by firing once into the air. "I'm serious," she growled. She glared at the gathering. "Any one of you tries to buy a rivet from these guys, know this. I'm not going to shoot the Jawas. Selling's what they do. They're never going to comprehend property lines. You, on the other hand, know very well where you are and what the rules are. So you might as well go back inside. If there's anything worth having, we'll put it on sale after we've wiped it down." Her point was made. Grumbling patrons of the claim started to wander back into the building. Annalene hadn't had to shoot anyone in a long time. One stun blast every few years was usually enough to convince people that this was her commercial terrain. She would let Glomer come out from the garages and deal directly. In slower years, he'd supplemented his business by buying defunct equipment from the Jawas and refurbishing it. But the store already took a percentage on his trades, so that was in the family. A tiny figure in a brown